So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey everybody, Tommy Freedom here, coming at you loud and clear for the next one half hour. So of course we had Father's Day this past Sunday, and I don't know what, if you guys are fathers, you know, I hope that your children and your relatives, you know, did something nice for you. Now, I've been living with my dad off and on since 1981, so for quite some time now. And my dad and I get along very, very well. And I've done a Father's Day special before where I read an ode to Dad. And if I have enough time at the end, I'll read it to you again. I know last time I choked up really bad. But I found a card from my dad. And folks, I got to share this with you. I found this card, and it's got a picture of a kitten. It looks like a Scottish Fold or a curl. You know, the ears kind of droop forward. And it says, "Aw, Mr. Snuggle Whiskers wants to play a Father's Day song for you." Now, when you open it up, this cat is now standing on his back legs. It's holding an electric guitar, and as you open the card, it begins to play this metal riff with the whole thing vibrating back and forth. So I'm going to open this for you here, and I'm going to put my thumb on the thing to keep it from vibrating so you can kind of hear what's going on. But this, folks, this is priceless. And once, oh, all right, here it goes again. I made the mistake of closing the card. We'll go through it again here. This is priceless, though. It's a cool electric guitar, too. But it says, "Did I forget to mention that Mr. Snuggle Whiskers is a huge metalhead? Happy Father's Day." And, of course, it's got the cat holding the electric guitar. And on the other side of the card, there is a triple amp here. And each one of them says, "Ferocious." Really, really cute card. As soon as I saw it, I knew that was exactly what I wanted to get my dad for Father's Day. But while I am leaning towards playing things for you, I want to play something for you here. I got a text this morning from my childhood sweetheart. She is my dearest and bestest friend. I love her to death. I swear to God, she is my soulmate. I met her when I was 9 years old and she was 10. Yes, she was an older lady. And unfortunately, I moved away when I was 12 and we lost contact. But I met up with her on Facebook about 5 years ago, and we started talking, and as soon as I called her, she said, "My God, your voice hasn't changed at all. It's just gotten a little bit deeper." So I got this text from her this morning, and there was a link to a YouTube video. And it said, "The narrator sounds just like you, OMG. So I texted her back, and you know, we talked for a little bit because I got an old-style flip phone here, folks. I do not have a smartphone. If I want to get online, I will get on my big computer with the big keys that I could actually type on. So I had to type in this address manually, and I mistyped it several times. Ended up having to use a magnifying glass to see the difference between the stuff. Finally got it done. It still wouldn't go through, and then I realized that I had put everything into the search bar instead of the URL bar. So I finally got this thing, and apparently it's somebody narrating verses from the Bible. And she said it sounds just like me, and I listened, and to me it sounds a little bit higher pitched than my own voice. But I'm going to play this here for you folks and see what you think. Does this sound like me?
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day.
Okay, folks, what do you think? Does that sound like me? I hear a little bit of some tonal inflections that kind of sound like me. A little bit different dialect, and it sounds like it's about a half an octave higher. So perhaps if I were narrating the Bible at 30,000 feet, it might sound a little bit more like me. But I don't know. I don't really hear it myself. There's a little bit there, again. Since she and I haven't spoken for several years, it does probably sound a lot more like me than I actually do. But anyway, just wanted to share that with you. See what you folks think. You know, send me an email always at TommyFreedomRings. I was starting to give you half of my address on here and my real email address in my other life. TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. And let me know what you think. Also, speaking of TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com, a couple weeks ago I had lamented that I had not heard from Mike in New York regarding some information for White History Month. And he sent me an email back and said, dude, I did send it to you for May, and here's the one for June. Apparently, I had, embarrassingly here, over 400 emails that I had not gone through. So I did find May and I did find June. So after the commercial break, I will come back and read off some of the amazing accomplishments that our people have contributed to history over the years. But while I am on the roll here playing things for you, you do know that I not only host this show, but I do call into other shows from time to time. And there are a few shows that I call into fairly regularly, and I know a lot of the hosts. Some of them I've met personally because they do stuff outside of the studio, public events, and I'll always go and introduce myself, and we get to know each other, and we usually get to be, you know, pretty good friends. Well, the first one I'm going to play for you is actually for someone who was filling in for Charlotte's Most Beloved, John Hancock, that goes out on the 50,000-watt blowtorch here out of Charlotte. It's heard from Canada all the way to Cuba. And J.D. Hayworth was actually a former representative, a federal House of Representatives rep from the state of Arizona. He lived in Scottsdale, I believe, and he represented the state of Arizona for 4 years, and then he moved back here to North Carolina, where he is originally from. And he does occasionally fill in for Hancock. And apparently, they shot a movie here in Charlotte not too long ago that is not Charlotte. It was supposed to be Lexington, Kentucky, and New York City. So it's really cool. At the beginning of this movie, they're showing the skyline of Lexington, Kentucky, which you can just really see right off the bat, is Charlotte, North Carolina. And at the end, they're supposed to be in Wall Street, and it's actually Tryon Street in Uptown Charlotte, which is pretty cool. So he wanted to know if anybody listening had been in that movie. And of course, folks, you know I am a very successful actor. So I called in and said, no, I had not been part of that movie, but I was an actor from here in the Charlotte area. And I'm going to share that call with you here because it's kind of interesting the way that it went into. And I always like to share this kind of stuff with you so that you can hear just how down to earth I really am when I'm not dealing with you directly one-on-one with the show. So take a listen to this, folks, and I hope you're a little bit entertained by it. Please keep in mind that Tommy Freedom is a pseudonym, and I used my real name on the show, so it will be blocked out. Now, ironically, the caller who was holding to come on after me was another actor who I am both very familiar with, and he was very familiar with me, so I included a little bit of that, too. But it's just, it's priceless that you know so many people, or so many people know you. So anyway, here is how it went down.
You know, I'll never get the chance to be the announcer for that. Still on my bucket list. And by the way, can I let you know, this was on my bucket list. Sitting behind this microphone, hosting a program, in this case, the program belonging to the historic John Hancock on WBT. It's the recovering congressman and High Point native, J.D. Hayworth. And we're going to get into the weird way geography changes. This was all born out. We began the hour talking about American animals. Those filthy animals came down and made a movie in Charlotte, but Charlotte was Lexington, Kentucky, and New York City, and everything but Charlotte. And then I've been talking about my favorite flick last year, Logan Lucky. And it was just great, but you'd think West Virginia is next door to Charlotte. But maybe all roads are leading to Charlotte. With more on that, let's get back to the phones and talk to you at 704-570-1110 or toll-free from any place, 1-800-928-1110. Smack dab in Charlotte has been waiting patiently. You're with J.D. on WBT.
Hey, J.D. Hey here. Pleasure to speak with you this afternoon.
Thank you, pal.
To answer your question earlier on, Dino De Laurentiis built the studios down at Wilmingwood.
Dino De Laurentiis did that. And I like that play on Wilmingwood.
Wilmingwood, that's what we call it. You've got Hollywood on the West Coast, you've got Wilmingwood on the East Coast, and you've got Bollywood in India. I've been an actor, writer, director, producer since 2005, so I've been on a lot of productions that were done here in Charlotte, and so many things have been done here, with so many movies. Two TV series were filmed in and around Charlotte, Homeland being the most famous, another one called Banshee. But there's a lot of stuff going on here. And Charlotte quite often plays a lot of other places, as you have pointed out here. Talladega Nights was all shot here in Charlotte. All those racetracks were all Speedway.
You know, my favorite bit from that, I don't know if they shot it up in Concord or what, but the start of the flick, career day for a young Ricky Bobby. and one of the dads is like assistant manager at the Waffle House. Man, that just spoke to me with an eloquence of growing up in Piedmont, North Carolina.
Well, like I said, there's so much that goes on here. North Carolina is a very diversified state in its topography. So about the only thing that we don't have here is desert. But we have so much more than California offers because they shot so much stuff in California over the years that, I mean, Florida has mountains in it. It says, sign, welcome to Florida, and you can tell it's Ventura County, California. So a lot of stuff is moving here because the topography is more all-American and next door.
Well, that's true. Now, even the desert, I just got a little note on that. You could actually take areas of, if you're coming down from Raleigh down there, I don't know if it's one or what, you're heading down toward Columbia. Through Pinehurst and that area, arguably there are sand hills in
That's
North
true.
And South Carolina. So you could fake a little bit of desert. I can say that.
And there's some clay pits and sand pits around here, too, that have a lot of areas that kind of could be passed off for badlands, I suppose. But it's just an awesome place. I mean, I don't go anywhere. I mean, I did Atlanta for a couple of seasons. I played on a cop show down in Atlanta, which was a long day. It was a long commute there and back. It was like a 25-hour day when I had to do that.
Yeah, man.
But everything else I've done has been in and around Charlotte. Music videos, TV commercials.
That's excellent. So you're not a starving actor. You're finding work in Charlotte.
Yeah, I haven't been doing it for the past couple of years. I've been busy doing other things. But, oh, yeah, I'm listed on the IMDb. I got a ton of IMDb credits.
Cool,
so,
man.
Yeah, I actually was able to do much better on my own than having an agent because we used to have media on the internet. It was called the Southern Casting Call, and it was a forum for actors, and there was work on there, and you did not need an agent. If you were good, once you got your name established, you could just go on there, and people would know you. If there's anybody,
so they're going to say, hey, we need that youthful guy. Well, we're going to get Jay, man. I remember Jay. He was in that episode of Kung Fu Willie or whatever. Yeah,
well,
you know,
the local actors around here all know me as because that was my moniker on a Southern Casting Call. So if anybody's listening out there, it was on TSC. Yep, hey, it's
providing the snark and the 411. Thanks for checking in. Appreciate the call, pal. Mercy. So he's finding work, but acting is kind of like you got to have some other stuff to do. And come to think, but you know what I get? What I miss are some of the reality shows that are North Carolina themed. And the greatest one, not very far from where I went to school, Lizard Lick Towing. Do you remember those guys? Oh, well. Why talk reality TV when we can talk about, you know, all the other cool stuff that goes on, the make-believe in TV and radio. Back to Charlotte for another call. George has been waiting patiently. Hi, George.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Yes, that is true, and I do know and I do know and we all know each other pretty much.
Now, the follow-up here is what was really cool, because it lent credence to everything that I had just said, that this other caller knew who I was, recognized my name, my moniker, and pretty much corroborated everything I had just said. And it's funny, folks, because, I mean, I do so many things. You know, I'm an actor. I mean, I've run for office. I do all kinds of things, and I use different versions of my name to do different things. And I'm known in each field independently. And it's really funny because a couple of years ago, I got an email from someone with a question about a particular tree. Now, without getting into a lot of detail, but I am actually the leading expert in the world on a particular rare and incredibly endangered tree. No one else in the world knows as much about this tree as I do. And I got an email one time from someone with a question about this particular tree, wanting to know if that's what they in fact had. And I looked at the email address, and I recognized it. And it belonged to a fellow actress here in North Carolina. And she didn't put two and two together because it was a different version of my name. And she never expected that I would know that much about that particular tree. So I emailed her back and said, hey, it's, you know, so-and-so. And all you got to do is just bring a sample with it to the wrap party, because we're shooting a movie at the same time. She and I were both in the same movie. So it was really funny how things kind of cross over from time to time. But I'm like way over for a break here. Going to take a quick break. When I come back, I got something else to play for you that's really, really funny. And for those of you who hoard pennies, you're going to love it. Be right back.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Turn around, don't drown. Your car is not a boat. Turn around, don't drown. Your car, it will not float. So when the water starts to rise, open your eyes, have yourself a plan. Use your head and think, don't let your dreams sink. It's just that easy, you can. Turn around, don't drown. Your car is not a boat.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Look sharp, it's the Pin Cushion Palace. When your kids are on vacation and they want something to do,
Pin Cushion Palace is the place for you.
Bring your family, look around, but don't touch the pins.
Legally, we're required to say,
don't touch the pins.
Yeah!
Look sharp, it's the Pin Cushion Palace.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom, it may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so I am like way over time into the show here. So something tells me that this show is going to be a surprise overtime. So George, I want you to get online and let those in charge know that I think the show is going to go over. It's either going to be 45 minutes or an hour. I don't really know. All I know is I have way too much stuff to share with you guys for a simple 30-minute show. And already I'm almost, I'm 22 minutes plus into this out of a 30-minute show. And I still got so much stuff to share with you. So just sit back and relax, folks. We are, I'm going to stick around with you for a little bit longer. And as Gomer Pyle would say, surprise, surprise, surprise. Okay, so, what? We do. Awesome, dude. All right, so George is just letting me know that we have been given the go-ahead to take a spur-of-the-moment show here and extend it for absolutely no reason other than the fact that I felt it should be done so. So, thanks, guys. And, George, George, it's a special. Yes, George, you may. Everybody, stick your fingers in your ears. Thank you, George. Okay, so we are now officially in overtime. So I want to share something here with you. It's another show that I called into, and it has to do with pennies. Now, honestly, folks, how many of you save your pennies? I know a lot of you do. I do. Ever since I was 3 years old, I've been saving my pennies. And it's because as a very impressionable young child, I was very impressed with the fact that my grandfather had 3 coffee cans full of pennies. Now, folks, if you're listening in and you don't know what a coffee can is, you might want to look it up online because it's from a long time ago. But before they started putting coffee in these little packages, they actually came in tin cans called bop, bop, bop coffee cans. So anyway, my grandfather had 3 of these things that were full of pennies, and I was just very impressed with that. So I decided at that point I was going to save my pennies, and I was going to have more pennies than my grandfather. So I saved them over the years. I held some tag sales as a kid, selling some stuff. After my mom and my dad got divorced, and my dad had to leave the entire contents of the house to my mother. Thank you, you a-hole judge. I just started having these garage sales and selling all my dad's stuff, and people were coming by, and a lot of them, they were paying for them in rolls of pennies, 50-cent rolls of pennies. So I just accrued a whole lot of pennies early on, and I saved them and for my entire life. And then about, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, I decided to cash them in. I had enough that I cashed them in to buy a rifle. What I didn't really pay attention to was the fact that most of the pennies that I had were prior to 1982, and they were all copper. And those are mostly the ones I cashed in. Now, I have since paid myself back, and I have the original amount of pennies back in my possession. It's just now that probably 90% of them are the new pennies that are made out of zinc and clad in copper. And I kick myself in the ass every day to this day that I got rid of all those copper pennies. Because in the event that you're not aware, Congress is very close to passing a law to declare copper a semi-precious metal and allowing it to be melted down. So just as our silver coins were allowed to be melted down for their worth more as silver than as a coin, the same thing will happen with the copper pennies. They will be worth more for their melt value than they will be for their face value. So I think what I'm going to do, because I've got, I think, 140 pounds in the new zinc pennies, is to cash them in and to start trading them back for rolls of re-roll pennies and try and get my number of copper pennies back up. So I know this sounds very odd, but there, as you always know, folks, there is a method to my madness. I always have a reason for doing what I do. And I have saved my pennies, and they're separated. And you'll hear this in my discussion over the radio. I have the new zinc pennies separated into one container. I have the old copper pennies separated into another container. I have the Canadian pennies separated into another container, because Canadian pennies were always copper until their last year of issuance, when they switched over to zinc with the copper cladding. But then they stopped making them. The Canadians no longer produce pennies. So what you do when you get change back, owing you 4 cents, what happens, I don't know. So I have a bunch of the Canadian pennies. And then, of course, I have a bunch of the old wheat pennies, which are worth several cents apiece. I also have a separate container, which is not mentioned in this broadcast, of pennies from 1982 and 83. Now, the reason for this is that in 1982, that was the transition year when the United States government switched over from copper to zinc. So 1982 pennies may be copper or they may be zinc. I have to weigh mine to figure out which bin to toss it into. And I use my powder scale for reload. It's my Lyman reloading scale. I know how much a copper penny weighs and how much a zinc penny weighs. And I throw this thing in here and it goes boop, then I know it's copper. The reason that I'm saving both the 82 and the 83s is that there were a few blanks, a few copper blanks that transitioned into 1983 and were stamped in 1983. And folks, if you have a penny that's stamped 1983 and it weighs to be copper, it's worth about $15,000. So yes, it is very much worth my time to sort all these pennies out. So now, let me play for your amusement this segment from Woody and Wilcox, another show here out of Charlotte, and I hope you enjoy. And listen through. There's some filler because I call back. I call in and I call back. So listen to everything that you have to say, and when I call back again, it'll make a whole lot more sense, and I hope you enjoy it.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Well, all right. So we talked a second ago about our voicemail known as the Fez Line. And as part of that, we played a Fez Line call from a woman who had witnessed something strange. And I guess just for context, I need to play that call back. So here's what we just did.
Hey, guys. So I think I need to get my eyes checked or maybe get some new glasses or something, because I just took my daughter to Hardee's to get some breakfast. And there was a sign in the window that I really thought said, "Help, we need peanuts." But at second glance, it actually said, "We need pennies." I don't know why Hardee's needs peanuts anyway, so that doesn't really make any sense. But it'll be more interesting if Hardee's indeed needs peanuts. Penis.
See, and this is where I disagree with her, as we just hashed out moments ago, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I find it equally, if not more interesting, that Hardy says a sign that says, help, we need pennies. I think it would be more understandable if it did say penis. But we have gotten this now on the Fez line.
Hey, guys, see if you can get that I need pennies chick to call back, because I've been saving mine all my life, and right now I got probably 175 pounds on them I can unload. So take care.
You say he has 175 pounds worth of pennies?
He's been saving his entire life.
Or did he say he has 175 pounds of penis? I think it was pennies, right?
I have questions about either.
By the way, that if you have a band,
no,
you don't change your name by the end of the weekend.
No.
Immediately.
Not sure what you're doing.
Can you imagine the marquee out in front of the concert venue? I mean, you are selling out night after night.
I know there are people who collect coins, obviously, but usually those are rare coins and that sort of thing.
That's $283.50.
I don't trust your math on anything.
A pound of mixed pennies is about $1.62. Multiply by 175, $283.50.
Okay. Where is he storing all this? And why? Hardy's may need him someday?
Does it tell you how much volume of pennies that would be if you do it by weight? Can you convert 175 pounds of pennies into... Is that a room full? Is that like a Ford Fiesta full? How big of a pile of pennies would that be?
They're probably not in a pile. But you'd like to think about it that way? If you're asking Woody.
What do you mean they're probably not in a pile?
They're probably in containers. You think he just has a pile of 175 pounds of pennies?
I picture they're in those 5-gallon water cooler jugs that people used to throw stuff into.
Here's what I picture them in, those big plastic Utz pretzels jugs. Sometimes it's cheese balls. Kids, look it up. Utz, it's an East Coast thing.
Maybe they're in milk cartons.
You know what I'm talking about? It's like a 5-gallon plastic. It's got a screw on top.
5-gallon.
And you've eaten all the cheese balls and or pretzel sticks out of it, and now you're storing your pennies in it.
Okay, so our follow-up questions. Why do you have that many pennies, and how are you storing them?
Okay, I wrote those down.
Okay.
Pretzel jugs, by the way. I dated a girl in high school. That was...
No.
Now you're reaching.
No.
Come on. 175 pounds of penis, yes. Pretzel jugs, no.
No.
How dare
you? It doesn't even make sense.
And by the way, great band name, Pretzel
Brown
Jugs.
And Salty?
What, like, why would that be your nickname?
Twisted?
Crunchy? Yes, all of these. Keep going. Yes.
No.
Tied together by a teenager at the mall at a kiosk.
Awkward, but I'll allow it.
Painted with butter on a paintbrush. Did they do that? Was that an egg wash? All right. Well, we've covered that, I feel like.
What did we solve?
I don't know.
Nothing.
We raised a lot of questions more than anything.
Actually, you know what? Speaking of questions, Canadian American James tweeting at Woody and Wilcox. Did Wilcox say trout burger?
I said, when you're going to Hardee's and you're thinking, oh, I'm going to get a trout dog or I'm going to get a whaler, and all of a sudden there's a sign that says we need pennies.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
He was referring to the scene from Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
What do you mean there's nothing to eat here?
Take a look. There's nothing that I can eat here.
Get a trout dog.
Forget it. Do you have any fish here that isn't breaded?
It's all prepared the same way.
Forget it.
Get a whaler.
Oh.
What a clam wish.
You ever hear the word clamish? You want me to eat something deep fried?
Let's get out of here.
Classic line from Fast Times.
Clam wish.
Get a trout dog. Get a whaler.
Get a clam
I didn't remember clam witch. All these years, I've only remembered trout dog and whaler.
Now, you did date a girl in high school, and that was her nickname.
Clam witch?
Yep.
More than you could possibly imagine.
By the way, it looks like has called back in, the pennies guy. Okay. Do we want to roll it back without scanning it?
Yes.
All right, get your finger on the button.
Woody, it's the answer guy. I'm the one with all the pennies. I've got one of those 5-gallon water cooler bottles full and probably 3.5 inches in the second one. I have them separated, Chelsea, for you, by the zinc pennies, the new ones, and the old copper pennies. I also have the Canadian pennies set aside because those are all copper. They're no longer made, and the old wheat pennies. Woody, I will take a picture and send it to you this weekend by email. Have a great weekend, guys.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I've ever heard.
He hasn't organized. You thought they were in a pile in a room, Wilcox.
You thought they were in pretzel jugs.
I don't even think I said the word jugs.
You said pretzel jugs. Why would I make the joke if you didn't?
Because
you're
you.
Dying to make that joke every day. I wouldn't have to say it for you to make that joke. You probably had pretzel jugs on your lips for 2 years waiting to throw that out.
It's actually my nickname in high school.
So Fez line at 704-FEZ-3200. It certainly doesn't have to do with pennies or doesn't have to be something about or pretzel jugs.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So that, my friends, is why I save and collect my pennies. Now, I have shared with you on this show before about coin rolling and going through and checking all of your money. And I've told you about looking for silver stuff. And then I think I told you about looking for collectible numbers on your bills. And last month I made a very tidy sum by going over to the local coin shop and taking all the bills that I collected over the past 6 months that were star notes and radar notes and a low number. It was one was 000000032, very, very low number, and made quite a tidy sum on that. And folks, that's free money. Just check your money and you can make money from your money. And I've gotten several coins over the years that were silver. And ironically, most of those seem to come from the ABC store, along with the Indian head pennies. And what I'm thinking on that is that houses are getting broken into, the coin collections are being stolen, and the people are taking those coins, that money, and then going and buying alcohol at the local ABC store. But, geez, I wish I could get a job at the ABC store as a bringing this stuff up and having the opportunity to look at all this money because of what's out there. But I found something else very recently, folks, that I was not aware of and I want to share with you. And it's dealing with silver coins. Now, we all know that the United States government mints what they call silver eagle coins. Okay, those are dollars. But they're not coin silver. They stopped the coin silver back in 1964. But recently, they have begun releasing coins in 0.999, otherwise known as fine silver. So if you have one of these $1 coins, that's an ounce of silver, but it's an ounce of fine silver. It's not an ounce of coin silver. So those coins are worth the same amount for melt value that any ounce would be if you bought it from Engelhard or any of those other companies. But what I did not know was they are also manufacturing silver quarters. And it's the new quarters, it's beyond the States. It's these new individual quarters that you're getting after the states were done, and you're getting all these new things from like national parks and all kinds of crap like that. Folks, turn them over and look at the edge, because they are actually manufacturing those quarters in 0.999 silver. And if they get stolen, the people that break into those homes are not going to know the difference, and they're going to spend them for face value. So, as you may have checked your, and I used to do, check the old quarters, you know, for a date. If it was 64 or below, you know, it's silver. But now, these new quarters, every quarter you get, folks, turn it sideways and look at it. If it's a sandwich coin, it's fine. Throw it in your collector or back in your wallet, however you save them. But if it's gray, you have a very collectible piece. So that's just something to keep out. Just so many things now, folks. Just there are so many ways to make money off of money. And it doesn't cost you anything. All it does is cost you a few minutes of your time to look at your coins and to look at your bills, or notes is the technical name. So check the serial numbers on your notes, see if there's a star. If one of the numbers is offset, that's called a gas pump note, that's worth money. Anything that's different, folks, if it stands out, set it aside and look it up online, and you can make a few bucks. Are you going to get rich? Probably not, unless you get one of those 1993 solid copper pennies. But you're going to have fun collecting this stuff. You're going to set it aside. And at some point, yeah, you'll have enough. You go into a good, reputable coin store, and you'll come out with something to buy lunch or to throw a couple gallons of gas in your car or just throw it in your piggy bank. But it's free money, folks. Free money. You can't beat that. Now, let's jump back to the Woody and Wilcox show, because I call into them quite frequently, and I have met them. There's something I want to share with you about t-shirts. Because when I actually met Woody in person, I was wearing the particular shirt in person that I was describing on this call. And I said, dude, this is a 3D cat t-shirt. And I kind of did a 365 degree pirouette. And he said, I know you. So folks, let me run this by you. It is, it's pretty funny.
844-4WW-SHOW. I'd love to know what you purchased while you were under the influence. Looks like he is already on. You're on with Woody Wilcox. What's your deal, man?
Quite often when I get on the computer and I start consuming copious amounts of alcohol, which I do to get creative, you guys can understand that. You know, if I'm writing or doing my own radio show, kind of put a couple down. And then sometimes I have a habit of going online and buying those 3D cat shirts.
I'm unfamiliar. Is it a shirt for your cat?
No, yeah, actually, I would have expected Chelsea to ask that question, but no, it's they're like three-dimensional murals. It's the same on the front and the back. They're really popular in Asia. You can get all kinds of crazy pictures on them, and I just, being the big cat guy that I am, I'll go online, I'll find one I haven't gotten yet, and buy another one.
How many do you have at this point?
Six or seven. Yeah, they're real cool stuff. Like, there's one called Meowlin, and it's a cat dressed like Merlin holding a staff in one hand and a sword in the other. And another one that's like the Highlander cat. He's holding a sword with lightning going on, like he's just taking somebody's head, and there's a quickening going. They're just really cool stuff, you know. I kind of think the people that designed these were probably drinking when they did it, too.
That does sound cool. Yeah. Our buddy Beer Club Brandon would probably like to go out on a date with you and share some of his shirts as well. He's got some doozies.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys, my favorite one, and it is absolutely so cool that I bought two of them. It looks like it's in Siberia, and in the distance there's a forest with this freight train with a tanker car exploding, and there's this fireball. It looks like it's half a mile high with additional explosions coming off of it. And right in the foreground, looking you right in the face, is this gray tiger cat with this look in his eye like, don't even mess with me. I just survived Snowpiercer, and I'm the last cat on Earth. And that's my absolute favorite one.
See, I think the problem is you have to have regret for this to be something along the lines of what we're talking about. You are ecstatic about going down this path.
Well, you didn't ask if somebody had regrets about doing it. You needed stories about somebody buying crazy stuff when they were drinking.
You're right. That,
so I had to call in.
I guess I figured that was implied, but you're right. That is my fault.
I mean, I suppose it could have been worse. I mean, I could have consumed some alcohol before I called you guys. Then it would have been a really stupid thing to do.
Yeah, I probably would have made it at least bearable, though.
True. All right, 844-4WW-SHOW.
Now, of course, I will not say whether that was me or not, but those shirts are really cool. Producer is also telling me that I have a tendency to speak much faster when I'm calling to someone else's show than when I'm doing it on here. So, yeah, George, I'll have to look into that. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. So, what do you think? Do I speak faster when I am on someone else's show than when I'm doing this? Give me some feedback, always, at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Let me know what you think. Am I speaking faster on these shows? Listening back myself, I think I really am. somehow or another, when I am addressing you one-on-one, I am speaking as a friend. And I'm speaking as someone who is addressing you for a show with something that is important to listen to. And I guess that's probably the politician in me. So, yes, now that I'm thinking about it, I realize that I am speaking a little bit slowly and more emphatically. But I just really couldn't believe I spoke that fast when I called in onto that radio show. So, wow, I got something to learn. You know, folks, no matter how long you do this stuff, there's always room for learning. And the day that you feel that you don't have anything else to learn is the day that you're going to fail. Keep that in mind. The day that you know everything is the day that you know nothing.
Gay pride days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, this has been Father's Day habit a couple days ago, and I have a bad habit of coming in on these shows after the event, but there's something I want to share with you, because folks, I've shared this with you before, and something I want to share with you again. I have a relationship with my dad, and this is of course about Father's Day, but I have a relationship with my dad that most people wish, absolutely wish, that they could have with their own fathers. When my parents divorced, I was 9 years old, and I didn't want to live with my mom, you know, and I wanted to live with my dad. And the years went by, the court battles went through, and finally, in 1981, I was allowed to come to live with my dad. And I didn't know my dad. I did not know this man. When I was a kid, I mean, he worked three jobs trying to pay this freaking house off that my mother got in the freaking divorce. But I did not know this man because he worked all these jobs, and he would come home at like 6:30 at night, and he'd read the paper, and hello, Dad, and he'd pat me on the head and something like that. And I did not know this man. And when I came to live with him, he was basically a stranger to me and someone that I had to learn to love. But folks, let me tell you something. My dad has been my best friend over the years. Anytime I've gotten any kind of trouble, my dad was always there. When I ran for office the first time and I had the media here, my dad was out there going, look, Tommy's my son, and whatever Tommy's into, I'm into. Now get the blank off of my yard. You know, he was that cool. So several years ago, I put together this thing called An Ode to Dad, and I've showed it with you before. I've read it to you, and the time has gone by, so everything that I'm telling you here now, time-wise, does not match up, but I have this displayed on my wall. And a few years ago, my dad went through some hardships and he needed some food brought into the house. And this, what I'm holding you right now in frame, was on the wall. And the guy looked at it and he said, "I've seen this before." I said, "Yes, I put this out every year in the newspaper, in the local neighborhood releases." And he said, "I recognize it." And he did. And it's something I want to share with you folks, because it's a share with you. It's as a bond I have with my dad that I think most guys wish they had with their dad, but will never have. Well, let me tell you, folks, I have screwed up many, many times over the years. And my dad was always there. Even when I had an issue with the federal government and federal agents showed up in the driveway, my dad said, "Hey, whatever he's into, I'm into. Talk to him, you talk to me." Folks, that is the love of a father to a son, the devotion. And I hear so many stories of men who hate their fathers. And I guess I can understand, okay? They did really bad crap to you. But my father was always there. And I screwed up. Folks, I'll tell you, I screwed up a couple times in my teenage years. And my dad, he came down, but he did not swat. He let me learn from what I had done. Never got a belt. But I learned be of and beyond what I have done, the mistakes that I had made, and I never made them again. So, as I became an adult, I thought about these things, and I wanted to remember my father in the event that no one else could. So, this was total an ode to Dad, and this was not by me. Initially, I put this out in a neighborhood newsletter, and the guy who was running that titled it an ode to Dad. But it is called An Ode to Dad. This is for my dad, who has always stuck by my side over the years through thick and thin, no matter how much trouble I seem to get myself into. The other day, I was listening to a local talk radio station, and the host was relating how he had recently lost his father and was asking people to call in and talk about their own dads. It made me remember this event. Now the time is off, but at the time, 9 years ago, my father was helping me put a metal roof on my mountain cabin. The way the sheets laid out, I ended up with a 12-inch overhanging on each end, which Dad apparently did not notice was there. He went up top to put the stovepipe through the roof so I could fit into the Franklin wood stove I had inside. Suddenly, I heard a metallic noise that was something like, if you've ever shaken a large sheet of cardboard, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I recognize the sound as that of the metal roofing springing back into place, and I scaled the ladder roofing 2 rungs at a time, knowing it could have only been caused by Dad stepping off the edge. My deepest fears were realized as I looked across the roof, and I saw that Dad was nowhere to be seen. He had stepped on the edge where there was nothing but metal, no roof beneath, and he had plunged 11 feet to the ground below. He was 67 years old at the time. I leapt from the ladder to the ground, and I raced around to the far side of the cabin, expecting the worst. But Dad was sitting on the carpet of grass and pine needles, waiting for me. "Are you all right?" I inquired breathlessly, as I rounded the corner and paused. "Dad, are you okay?" I was thankful that he was not only alive, but he was apparently okay. And Dad being Dad, he looked at me and he said, "Don't just stare looking at me. Help me off my ass." And I had to laugh at this point because both that he was okay and the fact that my dad is never one to miss words. He wasn't as concerned that he had just fallen off the roof as he was that he had fallen onto him before I could get back up. He did hairline fracture his right heel on his fall. But amazingly, he was still coming through with nothing other than else for his industries. Or his industries. So I felt three things at that time that day. The same time, I felt fear, I felt relief, and I felt pride. I felt fear when I knew that my dad had fallen off the roof. I felt relief when I knew that he was okay. Oh, but my friends, I felt pride when I knew that his biggest worry at his age was simply he'd fallen on his ass. I know that I will be as tough as my dad when I'm 67. Dad is now 76. Well, folks, today, Dad is now 84. So I will not even include these ages from here on out because these are almost 10 years later. But going back down, Dad is now 76 and about to re-roof his house on his own with a second thought. I hope that I am as able as he, but I pray that Dad and I will still be working on yet another project together in another 9 years when he was 85. Folks, he's 84. I will consider it a miracle if he is giving the Thanksgiving blessing when he is 94. I am truly blessed to have shared the past 30 years of my life with my dad. Well, now we're coming up on 40. When I came to live with him at age 12, I really didn't know him. But since then, he has become my best friend. I have had the opportunity to get to know my father in a way that most people can only wish that they had had with their dad. He's been the best man at my wedding, and he's been there when my world seemed to be falling apart. We have been bachelors for the greatest part of 30 plus years now. And that is time which, to me, my friends, is more valuable than gold. Today, my dad is a great grandfather. But to me, oh yes, my friends, he will always be just nothing but a great father. That's who my dad has been. So this has been a tribute to every dad out there. We're only given one father in this life, and the precious time we get to know him is unfairly short. Remember your own dad. This Christmas season, let him know how much he means to you. Don't miss this opportunity. You may not have it again, folks. Four words to keep in mind, and I tell them to my dad all the time. I love you, Dad. So until next week, my friends, it's been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. I'm pushing it right to the envelope here. As always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so at TommyFreedomRings@yahoo.com. Out for now.